Okay, welcome.
First in our series of Shurim on Bishul, cooking on Shabbos. There's a little bit of background in the shir, and then towards the end of the shir, we'll already start with our first. I'm out.
Yeah, you can share.
I'm sorry. Baruch Hashem, I ran out of sheets. Thank you. It's so good to see all of you. Yeah, I'll try to print even more next time. Okay, source one, the Gemara Shabbos. It's actually the Mishnah. Lists, there are 39 melachos of Shabbos. So it says, Avot melacha arba'im chaser achat, dot, dot, dot. One of them is v'ha'ofe, baking. So the Gemara immediately asks when it discusses this word, va'ofe, Amra Papa Shavak Tana Didan Bishol Samaman in the Hava Mishkan Minakat Ofe. Why did the Tana who wrote this Mishnah, or whoever recited this Mishnah, leave, instead of saying Bishol, said Ofe? What does Bishol mean? What does Ofe mean? Baking versus cooking. So the Gemara answers, Tana Didan Sidura the Patnaka. If you look, the first series on Melachot in the Lamed Tev Melachot are all the ones you need in order to get a loaf of bread. Starting with plowing and sowing it until you reap it and cut it and prune it and all the stages along the way until you grind it, until you knead it, until you end up with a loaf of bread. So the last step in that is baking it. But really, what do they need this Melachot for in the Mishkan? Well, the truth is, there was bread in the Mishkan. What kind of bread did they have in the Mishkan? The lechem apanim. Okay? They had the 12 loaves of bread that were always on the shulchan. So Rashi says, Nakar ofa, de lo shayach bim lechem mishkan klal. What is he talking about? He's talking about it wasn't needed in the making of the Mishkan. Why would you use this? The Gemara's question is, why would you use this lashon of baking, which wasn't part of the making of the Mishkan, when you could have used the word bishul, which was used in the making of Mishkan? Okay. In what way was bishul used in making the Mishkan? So what did they cook? They cooked the dyes that they needed to make the curtains that there were in the Mishkan. So Rashi comments, again in source 3, why did he choose to do Sidur Dapat? Sidur Dapat Shehitchil Bo Nakat. So he started with all the plowing and sowing all the way. Instead of discussing cooking the dyes, he discussed baking to who bishul the pot. So Rashi says right away, ofe, bishul, just two different words, same idea, that's the malacha. Source 4, the Rambam says, echad ofe at a pot, whether you're breaking bread, o mevashel lamachlo, or cooking food, o desamanim, or dyes, o mechamin ramayim, or if you heat up water, hakol inyan echad hu. That's the malacha. You're not allowed to heat things, to make them hot, improved, completed. So we're going to see, actually, at a certain point, in a few weeks, it's actually going to be a few more weeks, because we have a break now for Pesach, but in a few weeks we're going to be discussing, there's a rule we have, ein bishul achar bishul. You can't cook something that's already been cooked. It's not halachically viewed as cooking. So we're going to discuss, actually, that there's some who say that that's true regarding cooking a previously cooked item. That might not be true about cooking a previously baked item. Okay? Putting a previously baked item in hot water may further cook it. Or cooking one item that was cooked in one method, such as source 5, Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata says, Echad Mevashel, whether you boil it or cook it that way, Vechad Atzola, if you roast it, Vametagin, if you fry it, Va'ofa, or you bake it. His definition is kol hamachshir davar la'achila, if you make something edible, al yedei chom ha'esh o toldoteha, using fire or any of its offshoots, i.e. you make something hot in the fire, and then you use that hot item to cook your food, that would also be aser. Hareze over al iser bishul. That is what Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata defines it. So even though we're going to be discussing at a certain point maybe some distinctions between baking and cooking, For right now, they're all the same for our purposes today. Okay? Baking, cooking, frying, any way that you make a food edible that wasn't previously edible, and you heat it up, that's what we're talking about. That's the malacha, that's what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. In fact, it's not only foods. Look at this source 6. The Gemara, right after the previous one we just quoted, Amar Avacha Bar Rav Avira, Haiman Deshavda Sichta La'atuna Chai Mishum Mevasha. If you took the steak, a tent peg, metal tent peg, and you threw it in the oven, and the oven sort of hardened it, made it stronger in any way, meaning in order to get metal at a certain point, when it's really hot, is soft and liquidy. And they pour it into a cast, and they make it a certain shape. Even heating up metal in that way, to harden it and give it that shape, even though it's not something edible, even that is usher because of Bishul. And the Rambam Paskin Zalacha, Sur 7, Hamatik Echa Minei Matachot, if you melt and or heat up different kinds of metal, koshuhu, even a little bit, or mechamen or matechet achetasa kachelet, or you make it so hot that it's like a coal, or is it toledat mevashel? That is also usher as a toledah. We're going to discuss the difference between the avod and toledot. Kalalo shel davar, the general rule is, bein shreifa guf kasheh ba'esh, sorry, not shreifa, don't read it that way, bein sheripa guf kasheh ba'esh, whether you soften a hard item with fire, o shehiksha guf rach, or you harden a soft item, harizachai mishmavasha. Sometimes heating makes your item harder. Sometimes heating makes your item softer, depending on the qualities and materials and boiling points of these items. Whatever it is you're doing via heat to this item, whatever it does to it, that is the iser of Bishul. Did I see a question here, or was it answered?
Yeah. What did you say about coals?
Oh, when you heat the metal until it becomes hot like a coal, like a hot ember, like when it's red hot. When you heat up, it gets hot, and now this item is hot. So do you know what a blech is? That would be a blech. Yeah, it's like a hot plate. We're going to be discussing constantly throughout this series of shiurim on Bishul, the difference between blech and hot plates. With blech is this metal sheet that you put over your stove, and you heat up, turn on the stove, it heats up this metal sheet. And that metal sheet is itself hot, and you would put food on that in order to heat it up on Shabbos. We're going to be discussing the exact ways to do that for Shabbos, on Shabbos. That's going to be our topic, that's going to be our focus. Okay. You might say, well, now I know, on Shabbos you're not allowed to eat things. On Shabbos, you're supposed to refrain from halacha, you're supposed to rest. Well, we discussed at the beginning of this year that there was the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, to make Shabbos a delight, to enjoy Shabbos with very yummy and delicious foods. Therefore, even though heating and cooking is a malacha on Shabbos, we need to find ways in order to have hot food on Shabbos. It is so fundamental to Shabbos that we would suspect anybody who doesn't have hot food on Shabbos as not really being Jewish. Source 8, the Bala Maor. Okay, that was the one that I didn't put on the back. It's on a second sheet. But the Bala Maor from the 12th century, so he has a parish on the Rif. And it's a parish of halacha, but he also happened to be a poet or a poetry enthusiast, and he wrote a little poem to help you remember how important it is to have hot food on Shabbos. So here we go.
Did you say comments on?
The Rif, Rav Yitzchak Alfasi. It appears in the back of your Gemara, whatever Gemara you have, if you have a full Gemara. Sorry, if you have the tiny ones, it may not be in the back. But if you have a normal Talmud or Rosh Hadar Gemara, it's going to be in the back. V'yesh omrim, ki takenat rabbeinu hi la'aneg et ha-shabbat b'chamin. Some say there's a rabbinic decree that we have to make Shabbos enjoyable or a delight with chulit. V'chol mi she'eino ochel chamin, tzarich b'dika acharav im humin. Anybody who doesn't eat chilent, you have to check if he's a heretic or non-believer. Ve'im meit, yitaskubo amamin. And therefore, if he dies, we don't need a Jew to bury him. We can let a non-Jew bury him, because he must not really be Jewish. Ula hazmin levashelu ladmin. You have to prepare before Shabbos and cook and be matminin. We're going to discuss means to insulate it in a certain way that it can stay hot until the next day, so you can eat your chilent on Shabbos morning while it's still hot. Ula neged haShabbat, and to enjoy Shabbos. Ula hashmin, and get fat from it. Hu hamamin. This is a person who's a believer. V'zochelek etzayamim, and he will get to see Mashiach or Olam Haba. V'yesh min haChachamim omrim al asmo shel yamin, and some people don't understand this right, and they get it backwards. They say left is right, and right is left. Anu korim aleihem, a certain pasuk that says, halavai, that they should remain quiet, these people. Mi yitein acharish tachrishun v'tilim lechochma. That is the Balaam Or's poem. As good as Shakespeare, no?
What is this going on about?
What is going on about? About the importance about having hot food on Shabbos. Okay? Now, the Gemara in Menachot, source 9, Gemara Menachot discusses how much you have to heat up something in order for it to be cooking, in order for it to be considered cooking. And the Gemara uses the term ma'achal ben drusai. Ma'achal means the food. Ben drusai was a person. Who was ben drusai? Ben drusai was a bandit, a highway robber. And therefore, he was always on the run. He could never stay in one location, or the authorities would catch up to him and put him in jail and punishments, and there was a price on his head. But, being a highway robber who had good money, he always wanted to eat meat. So, he would eat his meat, or he would eat his food. But he never had the time to fully, properly cook his food. And therefore, he would cook his food until the point that it was minimally edible. Eat it and run. That amount of cooking to take this raw piece of chicken or meat that is not edible because it's raw, and to heat it up just enough where it's rare, you know, when you order your steak, you say rare, medium rare, well done, etc. So this is the bare minimum of rare. You're almost ordering it raw. Okay, the bare minimum of rare, that's how much he was able to heat his food before he had to go. And halachically, we view that amount as cooking. So if you were to cook, if you were to put food on the fire for 1 second, you haven't violated Shabbos. Not that you should do it, but if you did it, you haven't violated Shabbos. How long does it have to be there? For you to violate Shabbos, it has to be long enough that the food could reach this level of what we call ma'achal ben drusai. Food that ben drusai, this robber, would have been able to eat. It would have been edible and palatable for him to eat it. So source 9, Rashi tells us, how much is ma'achal ben drusai? Shlish humavushal. It is cooked a third of the way. Source 10, the Rambam has a disagreeing view. Hiniach basar al gabi l'chalim. You put meat on the coals, you know, you have a bra. Im nitzlo bo kigrogeret, afilu b'shnayim u'shloshim mekomo chayv. If the amount that got roasted on it was the side of this tiny little seed, okay, even that amount happens in three different spots, so there are edible parts on it, you're chayv. Lo nitzlo bo kigrogeret, if that much hasn't been cooked, aval nitbashel kulo chetzi bishul chayv. So there aren't spots that you can claim are completely cooked, but the whole thing in general is half cooked, you are a chayv. So we have a machloket. Rashi says, how much is machal ben drusai? A third. And the Rambam says, how much is machal ben drusai? A half. And herein is going to be our discussion of trying to decide
what's the term called?
Ma'achal, the food of ben drusai. That was the man's name, the highway robber. So, Ma'achal ben drusai, we're going to try and discuss how much you have to cook something in order for it to be Machal ben Drusai. Now, first, this is just a bit of background. The Chazon Ish says, now when we say cooking something a third or a half, he says it's talking about if you were to take the amount of time you would fully cook it. Let's say an item takes an hour to be fully cooked, so therefore, according to the Rambam, it would be Machal ben Drusai at a half hour. According to Rashi, it would be a Machal ben Drusai at 20 minutes. That is how he explains this level of cooking. Once food has reached Machal ben Drusai, is there a further issue with cooking it? Well, here and again, we have another machloket. According to many Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Meiri, the Ran, we are lenient. Once food has been cooked to Machal ben Drusai, any further cooking you do to it isn't considered cooking. But according to the Rambam, we say that if it hasn't been fully cooked and it improves it to cook it further, it still has an Isser of Bishul. And that is how the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, the Bar Halacha Paskins, and he lists a whole bunch of Rishonim will agree. So therefore, that's how we Paskin too. Any time that you're going to cook something that's going to continue improving based on that, it is usher as well. But
is that how we hold?
That's how we hold. Okay? But in source 11, the Rambam says, "Mavashel al ha'or davar shayam uvushal kol tzarcho." You put on the fire something that was completely cooked. O davar she'eino tzarich bishul klal, something that doesn't need cooking at all, i.e., it is edible raw. Potter. If you are exempt, not that you're not that mutter, there's a difference between mutter and potter. Mutter means you're allowed to do something lechatchila. Potter means that if you did it, you are not obligated in a korban. So if you cook an item that doesn't need cooking at all, you are potter according to this Rambam.
So
like if you have fruit, we can eat an apple. So if you decided to cook your apple, you can eat a carrot. You decided to cook the carrot, according to the Rambam, in the Eved, you would be potter.
What if you buy a ready-made chicken?
If you buy a ready-made chicken, so you're warming it up. So, does it improve by you warming it up? Obviously, that's why you're warming it up. Otherwise, why would you warm it up? Okay, yes?
So, but like with a piece of salmon, for example.
You like it as sushi.
It's edible both ways, but it could be considered improving it.
Okay, so therein lies the problem. Once you get it to the reason you're cooking it is because you want this fish cooked. If you didn't want it cooked, you would have just eaten it raw. Therein, meaning, it's not like an objective improvement. It's the way you want to eat it. You don't want to eat it this way, therefore you're cooking it.
So what case of the realm I'm talking about when it doesn't improve the food that it is?
At a certain point, your chicken dries out. If you keep cooking it, you're not improving.
No, but something that can be eaten raw.
A carrot.
So, but that is could be considered improving it.
Oh. We'll discuss that in 1 minute. Okay? Source 12. Shulchan Aruch. Paskening. Similar to the Rambam here. Tavshil shenit bashel kol tzarcho. Something that has been cooked fully as much as it needs to be cooked. Yesh bo mishum bishul in mitzdani. If it has cooled off, reheating it is usur. Ramah, v'yesh omrim dafka imitstamik v'yafala. Only if reheating it and cooking it further will improve it. For example, there are certain things, certain foods, the longer you cook them, maybe it's a parabola, like if you cooked it for 20 years, it wouldn't get better. But if you cooked it 20 hours, it would be better than if you cooked it 19 hours. Cooked in 19 hours, it's better than if you cooked it 18 hours. So there's a lot of hours, and you might eat it already at 12 hours. But had you continue to cook it, it would continue improving. One of these foods is cholent. Yeh shomrim, dafkam et stam yofelo, specifically if it improves. V'im lo nitbashel kol tzarcho, and if it hasn't been completely cooked, afilu nitbashel k'mach ben drusai, even if it has been cooked, that minimal level, that ben drusai, that bandit would eat it, even if it's still hot, it is usher to cook it further, even if it has reached Machal ben Drusai, to cook it to a higher level of cooking. Now discussing the carrots, like in your question, source 13, the Or Zeruah, cites the Rivach, who says, Yerakot she'nechalin k'shein chayim, they're vegetables we eat raw. Kigon krisha, v'lefet, krisha must be some kind of cabbage or turnip or something. Lefet is a turnip. So krisha must be another one of those. V'chein perot ha'ilan, fruits. Kigon tapuchin, apples, v'shar perot. Even if you can eat an apple when it's raw, when you're deciding that you're going to make baked apple, is that something you've eaten? Baked apple? Okay. If you're deciding you're not going to eat this raw apple, you want a baked apple, yesh bahem mishum bishul. Sha'arei mit makmik ta'amam u'mishtanel l'tam acher k'shem nipashlin. Whatever that word mik makmik means, maybe it's onomatopoeia of some kind, but it's it, something is happening to it to give it a different taste when it gets cooked. Therefore, even if you can't eat this apple alone, raw, the fact that you're deciding to cook it now means that you're improving it. Meaning, improving is an objective. You may like raw apples as much as you like baked apples. But by taking this apple and turning it into a baked apple, you are effecting a change on it that is qualified as the Isser Melacha of Bishul. And you can't do that on Shabbos. Yes?
What about that thing that we said before about Ayin Bishul?
Achar Bishul. We're going to discuss that. Okay? That's in the coming week. But now we're discussing...
There's another part to this at all, this concept.
It doesn't apply because it hasn't been cooked yet here. You're taking an apple and making it baked apple.
No, but like for something like warming up a chicken, like even if you're going to make a nasa, it's already being cooked, so you surely can do it.
Good. So we're going to discuss how to warm up a chicken so that you're not cooking a chicken. And therein, ein bishul achar bishul makes it not a problem.
So
but to actually cook it to a further stage, yes, we're going to be discussing constantly the difference between warming up and cooking. That is going to be the focus of all the Hilcha Bishul. And the goal of this, of these few weeks that we're going to be discussing, is so that you in your house know how to heat up food before Shabbos, for Shabbos, or on Shabbos, how to warm up a food item, because nobody wants cold food. In fact, if you have only cold food and not hot food, we're going to be suspicious of your lineage. Okay.
So, so at this point, he's saying that you can't do the carrot story because it's changed.
You can't do it on Shabbos. Okay? You can't take a raw carrot and heat it up to make it a cooked carrot. Okay. Source 14 discusses the following interesting case. But I'm going to read it out of order. Okay? First, we're going to read the ending because it's related to the previous part. Then I'm going to read the next two sources and come back to the beginning part. Rather than put it on the sheet twice, I put it once. The Ramah, paskening regarding fruit, the end of the source, the last line, V'hu adin bepero r'shar dvarim ha'nachalim k'muchin chayin, if you were to heat them up in a way that they are cooking, that they are improving, that they are changing, that itself is usher. So the Ramah paskens, like this Or Zeruah, that you are not allowed to cook a fruit or a vegetable, even if they're the kind of fruit or vegetable that's edible raw. Let's actually look at the last line of source 13. The Or Zeruah concludes, Mashma de Mayim, yesh bem mishum bishul mevash l'chayim chatat. That tells us something, because water is edible raw. We drink water straight from the tap. Yet, when you cook the water, now you have hot water. Now it's good for your tea, for your coffee. Coffee. Okay? Now you are able to drink this hot water. It's going to help dissolve your coffee and your sugar and everything else that you put in it. So therein, you've improved it. So we see it's not only when you change an item completely. In fact, what we're going to discuss is, let's say I boil up the water, and now it cooled down, and I boil it up again, and we've discussed, ein bishul achar bishul or not, right? So we're going to say that maybe that doesn't apply to liquids, because each time it does go from cold water to hot water to cold water to hot water, there is a significant change going on. So let's look at source 15. Amar Rav Yehuda, Gemara Shabbos. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Echad shemen, echad mayim, whether oil, whether water. Yad, so let it bow. If your hand is afraid to touch it, or if it touches it, it reaches back because it's hot. Okay, you touch an item and your hand
recoils
from it. That means this item is halachically considered hot enough that it's considered cooking. Ein yatzeletet bo, you can leave your hand on it. It's not too hot, it's mutter. Ve'hechi dami yatzeletet bo, and how hot is that? Amar rechava, kol shekreso shaltinek nechved. Please don't try this at home, but hot enough that if it hit a baby's stomach, the baby's stomach would burn. Okay, that's how hot. So we're talking, I know people, when I was in high school, I worked a little bit in a pizza store. And there was a Mexican worker in the pizza store who used to, as a shtick, with some of the other workers, have a contest of how long they could leave their hand on the 500 degree pizza oven. Okay, and he was able to do it a few seconds. While the rest of us, if you put your finger on it for a second, you immediately felt it was too hot and you shouldn't be playing such a silly game. Rashi is describing, so let it, nimshechet la'achora midaga shelo tvicha, that it recoils, jumps back, out of fear that you don't want to get burnt. Okay. Now let's go back to the beginning of source 14 that we had skipped. The Shulchan Aruch says, mutar litein kiton shel mayim, you could take a flask or a receptacle of water. O shar mashim, kineged ha'esh lafik tzinatan, you don't put them on the fire, that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. You're not allowed to cook, even water. But you're allowed to put them near the fire. Not on the fire, but near the fire. What does that do? It takes this water, which may be cold or room temperature, and now it's going to be slightly warmer. And he says, mutter, which means you are allowed to do this, lichatchila. Ubilvad, here's the qualifier. Sheyitneim rachok me'aesh be'inyan she'enol yacholin chamein boto makom achtei yatzaletipo. You could put it near the fire, but far enough that if you were to leave it there, it wouldn't get hot enough to be Yatzel let it bone. Aval aser the karvel ela esh lemakom sheyidcholim chamim shetei Yatzel let bone. You can't put it close enough that it could get hot there. Afilu laniach boshak tana, even to not put it there that long. If I leave, let's say this is the fire. If I leave it here, even if I leave it there all day, it's not going to get so hot. If I leave it here, it will get that hot. It just might take 2 hours. So what am I going to do? I'm going to leave it here 1 hour, and it won't get that hot. It'll be pretty warm. It'll warm up faster than over here. Even that is not allowed because it is a spot where it could get hot. Because it could get cooked there. Source 17, the Mishnah Berurah explains, Kemachiyachol, Chashin and Dilma Mishkale Litlo. Maybe you might forget, and you won't remove it, and it will get that hot. So you're not allowed to leave it in a spot where it could get hot enough to hit that Yatzel let it bow temperature. Okay. Now, what we're going to discuss is three views of how hot Yatzel let it bow is. First, we have the view of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, we've discussed, he passed away about 20 years ago, in the 1990s, and he was a Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's Atzal, our Rosh Yeshiva, was very close with him. And he was blessed with many, many fine qualities. Among them was an encyclopedic mind. There's a storyteller whose name happens to be Teller, a Chanuf Teller. He's like what you call a Maggid. You've heard him speak, I'm getting some knowing nods. Okay, so I don't know if the story happened exactly this way. Could be it was embellished a little bit for the sake of making it a good story. But somebody told him this nice little scientific tidbit fact. And he told him that, you know, the animal that cooks at the highest possible temperature, or the lowest possible one, meaning the most extreme one, is the goose. And that happens at 45 degrees Celsius. By the way, I asked the question, do you guys use Celsius or Fahrenheit? Celsius, okay, because I converted it to Fahrenheit just in case. Okay, 45 degrees Celsius or 113 degrees Fahrenheit. So he says, source 18, Binyan Shir Yatzaledin. What is the Shir of Yatzaledin? Yadir Ashir Shir Yatzaledin Hashuva Nechutza Ma'od the Kosher Mitzvah Mitzvah. To know this level of how hot something has to be for it to be considered official for Shabbos is necessary for every person who keeps Torah and Mitzvah. Kosher Kein Levalei Ra'ah, certainly for every posik. Minogel is official for Shabbos as to how to paskin whether you violated or whether you can do something and it violates official on Shabbos. Baram Nerela Nia Daiti Raya Brura. I have a great proof. The Ad Arba'im V'Chamesh Ma'alot Celsius En Lachush Klal Shayat Soled Bogam Doraita. Up until 45 degrees, you don't have to be concerned that it's cooking. Sharei Nechleku Amarai V'Gamara Chulin. There's a whole discussion there about shechting an animal, and the spot where you shecht it is considered hot. The Beit HaShlita is not talking about the building where you shecht it in. It's talking about the spot on the neck where you shecht. After you shecht it, it's considered halachically hot. V'nei bizmanenu. Yadua umefursam. It is known. It's on Wikipedia. Everybody knows it. Deshir midar achom shel barvaz chaluk mibnei adam shehim be'erach 37 malot. Okay? Human beings have a temperature. If you take your temperature with a thermometer, what temperature are you going to get? You're going to get about 37 degrees, correct? In Fahrenheit, about 98.6.
The baby will definitely, for 45 degrees,
whip
his hand up.
No, no. It's you whip your hand up, the baby's stomach get burnt.
But yeah, you'll still move your hand from 45
degrees. From 45 degrees, you would move your hand.
Sure.
Good. That's what he says. So, but would you do it from 37?
Probably.
Yeah? Something as hot as you are? You're 37 degrees, remember. You touch another guy. He's 37 degrees. Your hand jumps back. Oh my goodness, that's too hot. You might jump back because you're homophobic, but it has nothing to do with
I think it's your
inside or outside temperature. Okay, so if a guy bleeds and you touch that blood, you touch back. You might find it disgusting, but not because of the heat.
It's going to be really hot.
That hot that you would jump back? So if surgeons weren't wearing gloves for hygienic reasons, their hands would get burned from it, is what you're telling me? I don't think so. I think they would be able to hold on to it. So he says, Gam lo kishoro parash ena chom shalim ala al arbi malmot, and the goose is even more than cows who are at about 40 degrees. Ela midar chom shal barvaz bari hu karov la arbaim v'chamesh malot, about 45. Inkeach muchach vaday dat shir shel arbim chamesh malot Celsius ein lachosh klal the shema yatzalenipol. Therefore, if you were able to put the pot of water here, now if not on Shabbos, you can measure and know that if I leave the pot here, it'll only reach 42 degrees. If I reach the pot here, it'll hit 45. If I put it here, I can know exactly how far I have to leave this pot from the fire without it, and I can still have it not be a problem in terms of me heating it up on Shabbos. Because again, the Shulchan Aruch says, Lichatilo, you're allowed to heat up this item, this food, even water. Even water, you're allowed to heat up, not on the fire, near the fire, in a way where it won't reach Yatzaledipo. Where it won't reach that level where your hand recoils from it. So the Minchat Shlomo, or Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Paskins, the Shir, is 45 degrees. I didn't give it to you on the source sheet, but there's a view of the Darkei Tshuva, who says that anything below 40 degrees, so that's a little more machmir, anything below 40 degrees isn't Yatzaledipo, because he says that the milk that comes out of a cow, if you measure it, its temperature at that temperature is about 40 degrees. So it can't be considered halachically cold when that's its natural temperature. That's the Darkei Tshuva's proof. Finally, source 19, Rav Moshe Feinstein, he has a third view. And it's a very interesting view, halacha lemaisa, because he actually is going to explain that there are two temperatures. Mahu shira chom sheish bo lachush bo lachum ral yatzal lebo beizah shira vavad yatzal lebo. What temperature do you have to be concerned that it's yatzal lebo? And what temperature is definitely yatzal lebo? You hear already that there's two levels. There's a level of where you have to be concerned, and a level of where it certainly is. He says tshuva. Me'arau lahachmir kimdumani b'shir kuf yud 110, which is mem gimel malot Celsius. So he was in New York. Moshe Feinstein lived in New York, so he used Fahrenheit. So luckily, the Bar Ilan project puts in parentheses the Celsius for you. So he says 43 degrees Celsius. Hu kvar chom gadol sheyesh lachud yatzaledet bo fi mashe badakna batzmenu. Based on his test. Now I don't know how scientific test. If he took 30 different people and had them all burn their fingers at different temperatures to see at what temperature they recoil. Maybe he just did it himself at a simple test and he decided he was okay leaving his fingers out of food until it got to 43 degrees Celsius. V'asavik ishlachush ad kuf samach, which is ayin aleph malo Celsius. 71 degrees. Kimida kuf samach hu vada yatzal lerepo. In other words, when a food is being heated up, I have to make sure it doesn't get to that minimal temperature which I might consider yatzal lebo. And that temperature is 43 degrees. But when a food is hot, fully hot, and I see it cooling down, and I want it to remain hot so that if at no point is it considered that I'm adding heat. At what point do I halachically consider that it's cooled down? That if I were to heat it back up, it's problematic. Therein, we need a higher temperature. And for that, he says 71 degrees Celsius, which is 159.8 degrees Fahrenheit. In other words, you can't leave a cold food in a place where it can reach 45, or in his case, 43 degrees Celsius. But for purposes about being lenient about yatzal lebo, you can only count a temperature of 71 degrees as definitely scalding. Okay? So we're going to see a lot of cases where actually reaching this temperature is a reason to be lenient, such as what we discussed regarding bishul achar bishul. If a liquid has cooled down, according to the Shulchan Aruch, once it has reached yatzal lebo, there's no prohibition to cook it further. So if you have a very hot liquid, it's at boiling point. That's 100 degrees Celsius, correct? So if it's not boiling out, if it's at 90, and you let it cool down, and it remains at 75, is there a problem for you, let's say it's on a blast, on a covered fire, we're going to discuss that, to move it anywhere on that fire where it might get to 85? So according to that, it wouldn't be a problem. Because it's at that point where it is certainly cooked, certainly that hot, and there's no prohibition to cook it further. Okay, so we have three views on the level of yatzal lebo. Again, the level of cooking related to Machal Ben Drusai. We had the Darkei Tshuva says 40 degrees, but Rav Shlomo Zalman said 45. But Moshe Feinstein's in the middle for his low end, for his start to be stringent at 43, but you can be lenient already at 71. So Moshe Feinstein actually ends up giving us two temperatures to be, one to be lenient with, and one to be strict with. Next week, my kilo tends to follow Moshe Feinstein on this. But Shlomo Zalman is also a worthy posek at 45. So it's probably one of the more prevalent common shitot on this issue. If you look in Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata, his first chapter is on Bishul. His first halacha, it's not the first footnote, but it's the third footnote. The first halacha, he actually goes through this idea that Rosh Shlomo Zalman explained to him regarding the goose. And he again says this idea that 45 degrees, both ways, Kula, 45 degrees, and Shir Shabbos Kol Chata is pretty prevalent as a sefer that people follow la halacha, so that's how we follow la halacha. Next week, not next week, the next class, the first one back, we're going to discuss cooking via the sun and via microwaves. Okay? Because we're going to discuss, it actually came up a little bit. The first, we said in Source 5, Kol ha'machshir davar la'achil ha'yedei chom ha'esh, heat of the fire, o toldoteha, anything that was hot from some other way. And so we're going to discuss heating, let's say, if you go to the spa and the jacuzzi is really hot and you, I don't know, stick a flask in the jacuzzi and it heats up. So we're going to be discussing those types of cases. Again, with the focus on halacha l'maisa, it was emphasized to me, halacha l'maisa, you guys want to know at the end of each time to make sure you know exactly what to do. So we're going to be discussing each time so that at the end of this course, you'll know exactly how I want to heat up chicken on Shabbos, how do I should do it, if I want to heat up this food for Shabbos, etc., how to do each of those, which ones you can and can't do, and the difference between platas and blacks and crock pots and urns. We're going to be discussing all of that. So, thank you for your time.